And opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 24th of November, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, it's a Culture Thursday. If you were paying attention, you may have noticed on Tuesday that both Mark Palmer and Gail Hanna were absent from the studio. They left me to play the game show, How Bahamian Are You, Sweet Tooth edition by myself, but they're back today. We switched it up because today we are talking, the title of today's discussion is FTX, Twitter, Trump, and the Dangers of Free Speech. And let me just start the show by saying that we should have learned that just because we can't say something doesn't mean we should say something, or that particular something. And even the most benign utterances can have real world implications. That's like even the most innocent little, you know, something slip out your mouth could have real world consequences. And listen, I just want to say this out loud. This is something I have to remind myself of every single day on and off the air. I ain't trying to preach to nobody. I have a conversation that I have to have with myself all the time. And so, Mr. Palmer, good morning. They absolutely do more power than BPL.
There was another expression, but I don't think we could mention that on radio.
Okay, good, good. And good morning, Ms. Hanna.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. All right, so before we get into the conversation, FTX, Twitter, Trump, and the dangers of free speech, there's a couple of things I want to talk about very quickly. Today is American Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Absolutely. Some people celebrate traditional Thanksgiving Day. Some people don't. We understand why. Mm-hmm. Some of us celebrate because we survived. We celebrate family, community, and each other. We do not celebrate the colonizer, but despite the colonizer, in the face of the colonizer, we will celebrate our survival. Mm-hmm. And so please, if you are concerned about the onslaught of imperialism and neocolonialism, and you want to engage that subject because it's poignant on this day of all days, remember to do it in a way that doesn't tear down other people. Don't tear down your brethren to have this conversation, because the conversation is about building us up collectively. Right? So rage on. But more importantly, get your plate of food and sit down before you start rowing. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how this works. You could eat anywhere once you get the food before you start rowing. This is a tip that I've learned. Gail?
Yeah, it's not good to row on an empty stomach.
Absolutely. And if you start rowing first, I guarantee you have an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you may be right, but I got the food.
So, Erin, why did they put the Black Friday sales right the next day after Thanksgiving?
Oh, my word.
How did they get those two so close? You know, so on Thursday, we're thanking, you know, mm-hmm. and the next day we're rushing in over people's head to get that next TV. Well, why couldn't they have had like at least a month difference between the two?
Because they nobody had anything to do between turkey and football and turkey and football. Nobody had anything to do. Plus, you notice, okay, Thanksgiving is November. What's 9 months away from November? Anyway, that month is one of the most popular birth months. And so they figured people needed something to do. But it's about, I think it's about retail science, right? That's what we're going to call it. Apparently, the sale is done here. When they do the sale, they actually make the vast majority of the profit for the year during the sale.
Right.
Right? And so I think they, so it's not post the season, it's pre the season. And the sales season. And when they do it at this time, they rack up, this is what they discovered, I think, they rack up all of this money. They hit about 3/4 of the yearly profit goal.
Wow.
And then everything is smooth sailing and can balance out from there.
Until Christmas shopping.
Right. In Britain, when I was in school in UK, they did that on like Boxing Day,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of, because they, and in fact, it's important to note, Thanksgiving is an American mm-hmm. celebration,
concept.
Right?
Right.
And concept. But Thanksgiving is the American holiday, right? There's Independence Day, which is sort of political,
mm-hmm.
but Thanksgiving is like our Junkanoo,
right?
It's like our Christmas. It's like our Easter. It's their biggest. It's bigger than Christmas in mm-hmm. the U.S., actually. And it's only consumerism, right? It's like the capitalist machine that has sort of propelled Christmas in front of Thanksgiving mm-hmm. because I haven't been able to convince anybody to buy me a Thanksgiving Day gift yet. We should try it out. You try it out on me. Don't offend your family or your friends by buying them a Thanksgiving Day gift and you know they don't like it or they didn't want it because they don't celebrate. You try it out on me.
Mm-hmm.
You test your gift on me, and then I'll let you know whether we should go forward.
How does an avocado sound?
Perfect. Sound eaten. And these are the gifts we should give each other, right? On Thanksgiving Day. But I think it's important to... In these moments of wanting to critique is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We should honor and respect the lives of those who the celebration is based on, and that is how they kill up all the Indians trying to survive themselves, right?
It's the bits that are missing in our discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's be easy with one another,
mm-hmm.
because the plan is for us to tear each other apart. Let's not help the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now...
Well, you know, one thing I'm grateful for...
Yes, sir.
I didn't invest in FTX.
Oh.
But that's because nobody could ever explain crypto to me. Like a fifth grader, you know, you explain to a fifth grader how it works, and to this day, nobody's really been able to explain to me how it works. So, probably in the same boat as you, right? And you,
like Gail. Crypto was never created, to be clear. Or its purpose was to operate in the underbelly of society and to without regulation and so on. And with those kinds of things, to want clarity and to want something straightforward, it's on the opposite ends of that spectrum. And so with cryptocurrency, a lot of people, I don't think they realize that it was not created for mainstream. It was created mm-hmm. for the underground.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, it was always touted because of the blockchain and that you
right.
have these contracts and that you could see them.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is they don't apply it actually to the assets of these
right.
exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a blockchain for us to see what was happening.
Yes.
So, it, like you say, there's an opaqueness that is probably intentional.
Yes.
But the real the basis for it seems sound, you know, to have these open contracts
and
that
I
you
think,
can't change.
Yeah, it can't. It there was the opportunity for it to be sound, and I have friends that are all for it and mm-hmm. we're pushing it in the same way that you would have mentioned. You know that this is something that you should get into. And I had a conversation with my sister yesterday, actually, because the whole concept of the cryptocurrency was to, as mentioned, to be an underground thing. And
mm-hmm.
so you could make a $2 million purchase, quote unquote, of something that you probably should not have, a rare artifact or something mm-hmm. of that sort. And that would generally be considered okay. But when you have maybe 50 people trying to make the same sort of transaction without regulation and without... The whole point is the regulation, right? Because people speak about, oh, cryptocurrency is not real.
Mm.
The money that we have in the bank right now is not real. It's
True.
Not tangible.
It's fiat.
And a lot of people, you know, I worked at a local bank before and was trying to get people to sign up for online banking. And they told me, no, I don't want my information out there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're able to access your account at these various branches due to the internet. And the
mm-hmm.
connection, the virtual connection.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of even thinking that money, that the money is not real is flawed in a sense that the money that you're putting in the bank now is essentially you cannot touch it. If you want to take it out, you have to go through processes, etc. The difference is if it disappears, you have some means of general recovery through mm-hmm. these regulations and through these processes, which mm-hmm. does not exist with the cryptocurrency.
Well, there is an anatomy to fraud, which I was researching. And,
okay.
you know, this isn't the first, if we say fraud. I mean, there's enough evidence to say that
this is a
fraud. But, you know, so there's two things with frauds. Usually the accounting is very opaque
mm-hmm.
and you can't untangle it. And when you mm-hmm. look at it, they had 130 shell company. It's if you look at Goldman Sachs, their structure is way less complicated than FTX. So that's the first thing. So, you know, it's opaque and we can't really get to the bottom of it. And the other thing of fraud, the second thing is assets tend to leave the balance sheet
mm-hmm.
and they go somewhere else and they get replaced with things that look like assets but aren't really assets. So that's basically how frauds operate.
So the reason I didn't invest in FTX, right?
Okay.
Is because I didn't have any money. But more yeah. importantly, if I had money, I would have, except for the fact that it just reminds me of when you get a gift of money as a child and the adult gives it to another adult.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Right,
to
hold.
Your parent to hold, right?
Right.
That's the asset going off the balance sheet.
Right. Well,
but
no.
You still have it.
No, it right but there, right?
Until they spend it.
Until right. you need it, yeah.
And then you ask them for the money.
Yes.
And well, then they tell you,
hold on. Yeah. Yes.
Right? And
it's safe. It's safe.
Right.
It's safe. And then you
yes.
wait a little
it's
bit and
save
you
it.
Ask again. And then they run hard and they tell you very clearly that your assets no longer exist in the form that they were given
mm-hmm.
because you ate food mm-hmm. and you didn't buy it. I bought it with your money, okay?
And right. In fact, that's where it went.
Right. In fact, you owe me money.
Right.
For the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I didn't invest in FTX. I used to that.
I don't think that we should discredit cryptocurrency altogether.
No,
and as you mentioned with the blockchain and other things, like there is a movement toward it being creating I don't want to say a safe investment, but a less risky investment, right?
Right.
But I think we should speak more about how easy it was for somebody like FTX to
Ooh.
Come and operate
yeah.
and establish and promote and so on, and then have the, like you said,
yeah.
oh, I'm holding it for you. Those legs removed.
Don't call my mommy FTX.
Sorry.
They're two separate conversations. But
we learned about fraud early on, right?
Yes.
Chirin.
Guess when.
But for me, it is less about, them coming here.
So
I think that's a good thing. But let me tell you why. I look at it as, like you say, we're not denigrating cryptocurrency in and of itself. It is
mm-hmm.
a thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I see people spending their money, investing their money in cryptocurrency, sort of like free speech.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? If you want to spend your money there, you have the right to spend your money there. You have the right to spend your money in that way. You have the right to take that risk,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see the Bahamas in this equation as hosting people that want to have these types of conversations,
mm-hmm.
right, with their money. Be a host for you. You already know it's an unregulated or
Well, that's not true. We do have regulations in place.
But what
here.
Are we regulating, right? Are we regulating the people we're saying, listen, to participate in this industry, in this jurisdiction, you have to be vetted. You have to meet a criteria.
Well, you know, Aaron, having a law doesn't mean it's being enforced, right?
Right.
We do have a regulatory framework.
Right. No, I think the regulatory yeah. framework was enforced. I'm not saying that it wasn't enforced. What I'm saying
clearly it's being enforced, you know, given the circumstance of last week and the two
right.
the two liquidations that are going on. And,
right. It's what are they able to regulate? Right? What are the parts of the crypto sphere that they're able to regulate? And
Well, possession is 9/10 of the law. You're
right.
going to go and grab what you can.
Right. So if
right?
I were
to protect the
right.
beneficiaries.
If I were a regulator or a
mm-hmm.
regulatory regime, right, I would say, listen, if you're going to do business in my country, then the servers need to be here.
Okay.
Right. The servers need to be domiciled here.
So what happens when the power goes off? That's like a cold wallet.
Once the power goes off, your wallet is cold, right? And what in it is in it. But that's the other side of the equation. The capacity to function at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the challenge with regulating anything, it's very challenging, and I have a lot of sympathy for our regulators because, you know, to enforce the law, you know, there are four things that come in play for regulators that make their life difficult, right? Uh-huh. First thing is political considerations, mm-hmm. right? We know those things exist and they play a real part in it. Secondly, the regulators come from the same industry that they're regulating, mm-hmm. right? So they used to be...
Because they're industry experts.
Exactly, for whatever reason, but that creates a conflict of interest
right.
because they
right.
are now regulating their buddies and, you right. know, you can pick up... So you could... Exactly. And
right,
I think...
And just for a moment, I can let you go on. What's fascinating in that space is that you hire industry experts because they have a particular experience and familiarity with the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
on the other side...
But there's a quid pro quo for that. Now, I can't speak for the Bahamas, but the U.S., there's a lot of evidence that the regulatory bodies have been captured. Very easy to capture them because you only have to capture the apex, the top part of that whole system.
I don't know what you mean when you say
so captured where the industry that are supposed to be regulated have a stronger influence through those regulators than should be mm-hmm. the case, right?
Okay.
That's the nicest way of putting it, okay? So that's
just
the thing.
Like,
and then the fourth
yeah, yeah.
thing, Eric, well, so we talked about revolving doors between the industry and the regulators. And
yeah.
you can't, you know, and so...
We see that in the FDA,
we see that
in the U.S.,
so
we see it all the time.
If you're working at Goldman Sachs, if you were like Martin Gensler, who's head of the SEC, used to be a partner at Goldman Sachs. Right, so, and he was the youngest partner ever at 30, so he's really a whiz kid. This is the guy in charge of regulating the U.S. And so, but the fourth thing is, at that apex level here in the Bahamas, everyone knows each other through their lodge, their
mm-hmm.
church, their schools, or whatever. And so you don't want to throw people under the bus, particularly if they're friends, you've built relations. So these are the things that are at play to try and get a fair outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so it's very challenging.
So
why are we always, in addition to that, why are we always the ones to say yes? Because a lot of what we have seen was rejected by other
mm-hmm.
People elsewhere. So it's as though, okay, we're going to try this country. They said no. This country, no. Oh, let's go to the Bahamas. They're going to say yes.
Okay.
Well, you were saying that earlier, we're pirates.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Pirate
You're
Republic.
Offending my organic Bahamian sensibilities.
Ooh.
We are pirates. I just didn't like the tone with which you said it. You said it as if it was a bad thing.
No.
It's not necessarily a bad thing,
a
right?
A non-judgmental thing. Remember wrecking, right?
Yeah.
Wrecking.
Yeah.
You could go to the government in the Bahamas at the day and get a wrecking license, which would allow you in a storm to light a fire by the reef so an incoming boat thinking it was safe harbor would wreck itself.
Yeah, but that's not what you put on the form.
What
you put on the form, right?
And like that was a 10% fee that the government took for that nefarious
wow.
service. Come on, man. So
listen, I knew wrecking was
our
history. I didn't realize, but it all makes sense. It makes more sense than I could have realized, right? Wrecking is really our culture.
Right.
And my greatest concern with FTX before, well, I'd said to a number of people and even yesterday that I needed to see more from the regulators and
mm-hmm.
the government about it before engaged in...
And they have been making statements
right.
regularly right from the get-go. So they were, you know,
right,
so it's
they were
transparent
engaging,
and open.
Speaking to particular issues before
mm-hmm.
I engaged them,
mm-hmm.
I likened this to the Bahama episode, but in the sense that my hunger for information, my desire to be informed, right? I'm a citizen. This is citizen taxpayer dollars y'all working with. I have a right to know, right? And I had to balance that with this is both an economic, a business exploit, and it is a intra-governmental. So now there are governments engaging each other,
mm-hmm.
right? And that because of the nature of the negotiations, there's a whole bunch of stuff
mm-hmm.
that a responsible business person mm-hmm. would not be allowed to, would not share because they wouldn't be allowed to share it, right? So I had to balance this obligation to know what's happening with my money and my country with understanding the dynamics of the space being negotiated.
In addition to that, we do not get access to information until essentially the house is on fire.
Yeah.
Or we do not develop even an interest in the information until the house is on fire. It's such a case as this.
And you sort of can understand it. And then my question is, will the government, because that's what it is, develop the capacities, right, to process information in the real time for dissemination to the public? So we know there's a bunch that we can't talk about, but from what is happening right now, do you have a team that's reading everything and saying, okay, we can pull this out and share this with the Bahamian people? We could tell them, stick a pin here, we'll get back to this point. And we expect to get back to this point after the case or after this process is finished. Help people understand what's happening. And then what that does is it decreases the trust deficit, right? People feel like they could trust you. They feel less and less like you hiding information. And they begin to trust that you are giving us what you can give us, not what you just what you think we deserve.
Right.
What makes it more complicated, though, is that, you know, we've been here before to jurisdictions. Remember, Bahamar, the bankruptcy proceedings. And so we know what a bad taste that left on some people's mouths, right?
Yeah.
What happened there. And so this seems to be more serious, though, because now you've got regulatory bodies, the United States involved, the SEC. And so it's not just a private matter between an investor and his banker or, however the government plays. This actually has some significant regulatory bits attached to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's much more delicate.
Yeah. It's like fascinating.
But how do we get ourselves in the same position?
No, this
that's
is great.
The thing.
Listen, okay, so when I say it's great, right, here's what I mean. I'm looking at it, right, and I'm saying to myself, okay, the government sees an opportunity, right? The opportunity carries great risk. FTX, like you say, FTX, from even before it reached this jurisdiction, looked risky. Other jurisdictions were concerned about their presence and operations there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas looks at FTX and says, listen, this is a risk, but I live in a hurricane zone.
With looking at it, though, don't forget that certain parties had members of their family purchasing.
Okay, we're not getting into that just yet.
Okay.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We ain't getting into that just yet,
investing
right?
In...
We hear that, and it's in the
dossier.
No, it's in the public domain, right?
We know that, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the public domain, so
yes.
I'm not sort of telling you.
But
I'm
just saying that may be making it perhaps a little more attractive when presented. No,
right.
Yeah.
So you're looking at it, and you say, okay.
Look, we like Benjamin.
This is a...
Come on, Aaron,
we like green money.
Don't pretend.
That's what you mean, green money, the Benjamins?
Yeah, we like a Benjamin, and the more
Benjamin... I like plenty. I don't like one. It's a polygamous.
Part of being able to invest, for example, or to be a resident of the country would be investment in real estate, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just clarify.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Okay.
You are not wrong.
All right.
So what I'm saying is government's looking at FTX, right? They say, look, yeah, this is very risky, but I live in a hurricane zone. I know about risk and collateral damage, right? That's another joke. I run a financial services industry, and I need to grow that. I need to do something that will push us back out on the cutting edge of financial services.
Right.
Because my two pillars are tourism, financial services, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also seriously considering the full impact of a carbon credit portfolio, right, or platform. In terms, for whatever reason, to reduce the debt, to invest in infrastructure. And crypto sphere is going to be dealing with carbon credits as well.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at FTX and I say, look here, this is a big, big risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
it's an opportunity.
It is an opportunity to enhance our financial services industry by including this new cutting-edge element, but also to potentially also become a carbon credit trading center, because if the crypto exchanges can deal in carbon credits as mm-hmm. well, then we have the potential to create a new center of commerce.
Right.
So not just a new one, but a different type. And so the question is, was entertaining FTX worth the, was the risk of entertaining them worth the potential to establish, yeah. right,
mm-hmm.
the newest economic mechanism mm-hmm. in the world,
mm-hmm.
both crypto and carbon mm-hmm. credit using blockchain.
I agree.
Being sort of led, mm-hmm. if FTX works out,
mm-hmm.
with Salt and Scaramucci sitting to the side, right, of that, that's potentially a vehicle that could drive the Bahamas for the next 10 years out of the debt that it's in, mm-hmm. Piled up, and then a leap into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
2020 is an easy thing, Aaron, but if you look at the partner,
yeah,
great partner, great opportunity, but there were things that weren't quite right. And, you know, I was following a guy called Mark Cohodes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of him. He's the short seller, and he's basically, he sells assets he doesn't own, and then he mm-hmm. buys them back at a lower price. He's made over $1 billion doing that. But what he calls himself a heat-seeking missile against fraud.
Wow.
And so he's brought down two or three large conglomerates and made a fortune doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweeted back in April, he said, none of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go tits up, to use my phrase. And then in May, he tweeted another tweet saying, SBF is going to make Bernie Madoff look like Jesus Christ. So he'd already had, and there were other people in the crypto sphere who were saying that they couldn't mm-hmm. understand where the money was coming from, and for the, now, all these investments that were being made.
Here's the beauty of the risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of the risk is that with the proper regulatory regime, and I mean properly thought out and well entrenched, mm-hmm. hosting these entities, hosting a crypto sphere, hosting a carbon credit mm-hmm. sphere, you're the house. You don't ever lose,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
You get legal fees for operating the normal legal processes. You need forms filed out, you need to be vetted, you need to submit, all of those things, right? If something goes wrong and you're not actually involved, right, the government, the regulators, the liquidators, yeah. then you become the center, right? So everything that goes wrong, you then make money from interrogating it, declaring what happened, and sort of setting them off in the right path. You, whether they win or lose, you win.
Right. See, maybe Gail would know more about this, you know, with your banking thing. But we do know, I mean, how do you regulate an entity, right? And
mm-hmm.
what we do know in the public domain is they never had any board meetings.
Okay.
They were, major decisions were never documented except in a chat that auto-deleted after 30 days. They had no accounting system. They had no accounting system in place, so they didn't know how much cash they had.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go and find out how much cash or who was even employed by the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't there a way that you could just find stuff like that out if you're regulating? Or maybe that's impossible, is what I'm asking. But when we look at now how awful the financial situation was and how lax it was, it was
right.
a disaster in the making, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and so the question is, like, what type of regime do you want, right? It's cryptocurrency. People don't want you looking over their shoulder. They don't want mm-hmm. you tucking them in and say, oh, you left your leg out the bed at night. I just tucked it in. They don't want that at all,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's a balance between what the industry wants and what the jurisdiction requires to remain in compliance
but
with
Aaron,
its other obligations.
Aaron, you could say, can we have your last audited accounts? The last audited accounts were December 91. You'd expect quarterly management accounts, you know, something like that. You would expect those. Most of the companies had no financial records or no audited
mm-hmm.
financial records. Now, that's a big red flag, right? I'm not an expert,
right.
but...
But so if I'm a regulator,
yeah.
you want to host your exchange in my jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to require a lump sum of cash. I'm gonna be able to touch it. Or, right, I need you to bring me tangible, I could touch it, reserves, to put domicile in my jurisdiction to hold, right? Just like when you get a card from some of these banks.
Like an escrow. You want to deposit.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to put $5,000 on your card to spend, but you have to have $5,000 to give them to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like that? Do it like that. I have to touch it. Don't tell me I'm going to wire it. My Uncle Biden is a very nice guy, but he's just like my mommy. You may never see that money, right?
Right.
And I think that may be required to do this here. But I thought you was going to say, like, what do you do about a child named Trump who refused to turn over any taxation, right? And so then I have this question. Has Trump set a trend, right? Like, did the whole world say, well, listen, no. Until they make the former POTUS turn over his taxes, I ain't turning over my taxes. In fact, I'm going to continue to operate my business with the same level of transparency that the former leader of the free world thinks is appropriate. Hmm. Right? What about a child like Trump? Producer, let's play that song, Jerry Roker. These two people think that I ain't going to talk about where Jerry Roker is. They start their whole conversation without me. Play that music, producer. Let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to...
talk about our favorite guy.
We're going to bring Trump into the conversation and Twitter and...
free speech. I think that's a good topic.
Yeah. And then maybe I'll ask a question. You made me think about it. You know, did... we wreck FTX or did FTX wreck itself? I don't know. Producer, play that song for Ma. Yeah. Jerry Roker. Can't find Jerry Roker in town. I did some research.
You saw the celebrities that endorsed FTX as well, right? Yeah. Like you saw the ads and the promotion.
They're being sued.
The Firefest.
They're being sued in a class action suit because they did not disclose they were being paid for while they were giving this advice.
Yeah, so you know.
Kardashian was sued $1.3 million. She had to pay recently for doing the same thing by being an influencer without saying that she's being paid to do the ad.
Yeah, well, you're influencing people to participate, and then you're off on the side while, again, the house is burning down.
The dangers of free speech, eh?
You need to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in particular for young influencers in the Bahamas and in the region, understanding that your words have import and implications and consequences in the real world. When we get back from the break, producer, play that song. I still looking for Jerry Roker. And when I tell y'all what I did find, I find him. I find plenty. Y'all stay tuned. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
The secret is out. Thursdays have gone TCL at Alive. Thursday, November 17th and November 24th, you can save big on select TCL devices. Shop early for the holidays and get the best deals on devices starting as low as $19. Alive has doorbuster specials, TCL savings, and more. So stop, drop, and run to your nearest Alive location closest to you. We are Alive. Terms and conditions apply.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Yeah.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock with Erin Green, Gail Hanna, and Mark Palmer. Okay, I'm going to read these texts. Y'all don't say nothing, okay? And then I'm going to get to this thing about Jerry Wilder. First text says, great show as usual. You won't turn over your tax. Chris Lee took that same approach. He got 9 years.
My Lord.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a public figure, and I'm on the public airwaves. And they're not my personal airwaves. They're owned by Guardian Radio. So I can only encourage people to follow the law.
Mm-hmm. Are you a blue check? Yet, not yet.
Are you verified?
Let me plead the fifth and say that I don't pay for nothing if I don't have to, buddy. You think I need a blue tick to be verified on Twitter? I verified, buddy. I talk foolishness anywhere.
How are we gonna know it's you?
You because you see
the
chick
real Erin Green.
Because you see the chick Johnny. Okay, you're all trying to take me off track. So I can't find Jerry Roke in town.
Okay.
I can be honest, but I found a lot of things. Like when you catch in Chick Chinese and investigating cryptocurrency, you get more questions than answers. So I asked people to tell me who is Jerry Roker, why we can't find him, they can't find him in town, and why did they go to Inago to look for him? That is also very important. And I said last Thursday that if you don't know who Jerry Roker is, why they couldn't find him in town and why they went to Inago to look for him, then maybe you shouldn't be a cabinet minister. And I'm supposed to add a member of the Senate as well. I feel like that should be on the questionnaire, mm-hmm. right? Like right after, do you know you're supposed to disclose your assets on the deadline? Do you know who Jerry Roker is and where he is? Okay, so I couldn't find out who he was, but I would like to say thank you to all of the people that entertained my questions and shared some information. So if you lie to me, I need you to know that I'm sharing the lie on the radio right now. This is what I learned. This is the biggest one. Is Jerry Roker actually Loftus Roker?
Oh.
That's interesting.
We know that they fell out. We knew that they, and we were told they fell out on political ideological issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Loftus Roker was the first or maybe the only to look Pinland in his face in the House of Parliament. I don't know if he looked him directly in his face mm-hmm. and say, you know, there's something a little corrupt going on here and I don't like it. Okay, now this is what I learned. I need somebody to text me and let me know if this is true or not. Several people have said to me that the reason that Loftus Roker and Pinland fell out was because Loftus Roker had the temerity to detain one of Pinling's domestic staff, a housekeeper maid, who it appeared was undocumented.
Oh.
At the time.
Okay.
And I think, and what was told to me is Pinling asked him, what you dealing
what are you
with,
doing?
Boss? And Loftus Roker say, buddy, if I can do my job, I can do my job.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
And so maybe that's why they couldn't find Jerry Roker in town.
Okay.
And maybe that's why they went to Inago to go look for him. Because you wouldn't go to, I mean, he wouldn't go to Acklands if you looking for him because he's from Acklands.
Okay.
We hide out next. I don't know. If you know, please share it with us. Because why? Because I don't think you could be a cabinet minister or a member of the Senate if you don't know who Jerry Roker is or why he's not in town. And to the class of 2021, the HOA class of 2021, we're going to need you all to answer that question too. Okay. So, we know that Jerry Roker is a singer, right? There is a person named Jerry Roker. Jerry Roker is a musician, and apparently the musician Jerry Roker and Pinland fell out as well.
Oh.
I don't know why. Nobody told me yet. But maybe that's how the song came about, right? Now then, I met this boy, and this boy say his boy told him that his...
Maybe Shane would know, because didn't his... Daddy write the song?
Right. Well, if he didn't write it, he sung it and brought it to popularity, yeah. right?
So maybe
right.
you need to go on.
Somebody done send a feel out for my hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope you send a feel out like you say. Anyway, so the point is this. This guy says that, look, Roker's come from Cat Island. So I was like, well, there you have it. He ain't gone nowhere. He was right there. You just couldn't see him. Second thing, he said, his great-grandfather... name was Roker. And his great-grandfather have this fantastic story. He picked up one day and say he got into town and then didn't come home for 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came home riding on the back of a horse.
Okay.
And they say that's the origin of the song. So he'd been to a plantation. This time he was right in Nassau. That boy, I know you was in Nassau. Now, I'm saying all of this, right? And I'm saying it respectfully because what I learned as well is that the Jerry Roker, who was reportedly the subject of the song, his family exists. And we want to say, I'm not sure, I found this last night, there was not a time stamp on it, but we want to say good morning to Eloise Roker Hannah. Gail, that's your people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my people too, but don't watch nothing. We'll say good morning. So we know that Jerry Roker was real. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that Jerry Roker was in real.
He wasn't a crypto asset then.
There you go.
No,
he was in an idea in somebody's mind. He was very real. But I think it's important, right? And in this conversation, I asked myself, like, the tons of songs like this, you know, to the point where we don't even know that we're listening to songs with coded messages
mm-hmm.
that we're supposed to mm-hmm. decipher and decrypt,
yeah.
right? How much of our history, though, is being lost?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know the important stories and how many decisions are being made without access to the relevant information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when older Bahamians call, when people like Sparky call, I entertain them. It's why I entertain mm-hmm. people because you never know when a nugget is going to pop out
mm-hmm.
that is only decipherable in the moment, right? Because we all hear and we all talking about the same thing. And becomes real in that moment.
Well, you know how the interesting is just the other week, you know how we say who your people is, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I met this Nigerian guy, and he was telling me, you know what they say in their country when they meet each other? They say, who is your father?
Yeah.
And so we have these African traditions that we're still practicing 300 years later, and we're not really aware of it, right?
Right. And but we should be, because how important is that in the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
I have a story. My sister was going out on a date, a proper date with a gentleman that came to the house to pick her up, spoke to her aunt, my mommy and my auntie to come pick her up, right? Come proper date. And when he got to the house, a family member from the paternal side of my family had shown up. And she was right at the door when this guy came out the car. And she closed the door. He's dressed up, you know?
Yeah.
And she didn't figure it out. She said, oh, my. Let me tell you all a story about the heaven and the glory.
Oh,
how
no.
Y'all can't go out on a date no more because y'all are cousins.
Oh, no.
Just like that, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just like that. And so in the question of the dangers of free speech and inspired by the Jerry Roker investigations, you know.
In inverted commas.
Right. How, you know, have we really considered the dangers of free speech, right? And then the dangers of silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, a woman has the right to privacy. She does not have to tell anybody who she slept with, right? Unless
okay.
it's court ordered.
Okay.
She doesn't have to say, hey, when I slept with A, B, and C, either one of them could be the father. But then the dangers of silence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, she's free not to speak. That's what free speech is. You're also free not to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Does the child have a right to know
who his daddy is?
Right. And does the community have a right to know, to ensure that we are not engaging in risky, I want to say risky, like, sort of biological behavior where we may potentially be engaging in interbreeding, mm-hmm. incest, mm-hmm. genetic problems arise, mm-hmm. right? Do people have a right to know? And I think people have a right to know who their daddy is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think a balance must be brought, but I don't think a mother has a right to say to a child, an adult, their offspring, I ain't telling you who your daddy is.
Hmm.
Right? And I think that's one of the dangers of free speech. Because that impacts us here in the Bahamas heavily.
So this is the privacy argument, right? Because we know that free speech isn't absolutist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are, depending on what country you live in, there are certain restrictions,
mm-hmm.
you know. Hate speech, you know, again, it's how you define them. If they define properly, then you have that. Not telling a fib, because I know you mentioned the orange Cheeto, right?
Yeah.
And he was the king of lies. If you look at, there was this website that was counting how many lies he had. I think he had like 30,000. Saying a lie in itself.
35,000 plus.
Yeah.
So yeah. That comes under free speech, right?
Yeah.
You're allowed to tell a lie. But what are the restrictions? You know, and I went to Wikipedia because it's pretty complex, isn't it? Every country is different. And I was looking, there were so many different things that you can't obviously libel, slander, those things that wouldn't qualify as free speech, sedition, however that's defined, incitement, hate speech, however that is defined. You know, in some countries you can't, in Germany you can't, you know, speak against, you know, be a Holocaust denier, that is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not illegal in other countries. So it depends. It's different. Classified information, again, what is classified, what isn't? You know, the right to privacy. Copyright violation, are you allowed to put, you're not allowed to put that out as free speech. And then, you know, if you have a non-disclosure agreement, you know, these are all these things that, you know, these things that are signed that we don't, you know, like the Bahamar agreement, whatever, what was it called? The MOU with Bahamar, that was not a disclosed document at one time, right?
Right.
So if you went and got that from somebody and posted that in the media, that would go against free speech. And then, of course, the right to privacy. So there's lots of, it's a little bit complex, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's very complex. And the whole conversation is complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't mind you telling me I'm beautiful, right? But don't tell me you gonna marry me because I'm beautiful. Because I know you was lying when you said I was beautiful, right? I don't mind that lie. Free speech. But don't tell me you gonna marry me because I'm beautiful. Because then I know you just lying, really lying to me.
Yeah, it's a suggestion of freedom from the consequences of what it is that you are saying or promoting or have done. Or, you know, there with everything, there will be a reaction. Whether it's a positive or negative reaction depends on what it is that you're putting out there. But a lot of people seem to want to act within the realm of there's no consequences, there's no reaction.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we learned very quick as children, right? Like, yeah, you could say what you want, but then you're going to deal with what you get, right? And I think that's an important lesson for parents and to teach the children, ensure that the children know, right? Like, you have the power to say what you want, but be prepared to deal with the consequences. And for parents as well, in positions of authority over their children, look here, you can say whatever you want to your child because ain't nobody going to stop you in the Bahamas, right? It's like a plantation. You could say what you want. But no, did you deal with the consequences of every word you lay into the heart of your children?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I look here, we are sort of all out of time. Let me just get to these texts quickly. Mm-hmm. I had a text right from the beginning that said, listen, isn't Black Friday, the origin of Black Friday, in a slave practice of selling slaves on a Friday? I'm not sure if that has been verified. I hadn't even thought about that in the context of the discussions today. I'm going to go look at that. A couple of texts here. Tell your guests in the Bahamas, we don't know who is the father. We only know who claimed to be the father. That's because Bahamian men are gracious and don't want to embarrass Bahamian women. Right? They like, you say who it is.
Your pa don't know.
But a matter of national importance, national security. That's why the song is so important. Text here, why is the media acting as a mouthpiece for the crypto skeptics, established financial system, and those heavily invested in the status quo? Is this payback for FTX not buying ads with The Guardian? Where is the balance?
All right.
Okay, Texter. FTX owes up to $10 billion to creditors. Madoff owed creditors $65 billion. Lehman Brothers owed $1.2 trillion to creditors who were both regulated by the U.S. SEC. Text, the earliest known use of Black Friday to refer to the day after Thanksgiving occurred in the journal Factory Management and Maintenance for November 1951 and again in 1952. Dear Texter, thank you very much. I saw that reference in the show when I Googled, but I didn't have time to verify it. Thank you for sharing that. Y'all go do read the history, and you'll see it. FTX sounds like the consolidated fund. No accountability, and nobody knows what goes in or out. I wouldn't say that, Texter. I would not say that at all. Hmm. But listen.
People
may think it, but I didn't say it. And I caution you to engage as many people as possible to get varying, not just opinions, mm-hmm. but perspectives, and see the question from different locations, so you get a better sense of what's going on. Like I said, I got to do more research. Just because I can speak on FTX doesn't mean I will speak on it or to every issue, yep. right? Anyway, guys, I got to go look for Jerry Roker.
Good luck with that.
He's serving Thanksgiving lunch, man. I got to go find him. Y'all go find somebody. Go love yourself today. And more importantly, stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Have a great day.